perhaps as we dig into our sermon this morning, I may be able to make clear why. Why? What was the purpose, the ultimate purpose of him saving us? Number one is that he loved us. And it's not because of us. It's because he chose to love us. As I was in the office this morning, about 4 o'clock this morning, I was going over the sermon, and God just started downloading to the place where I see it. I see it. I see the whole Syrian totality. He gives it one illumination at a time. So I'm praying that this morning that I be able to, that he drops into your spirit what he has dropped into mine, and even more so. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 16, reading out of the Amplified. And it reads as such in our hearing. Not that I have already attained it, this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made mature or totally perfect in it, but I diligently, with all that's in me, I press on so that I may take hold of, that I shall make it mine, that I may get to the next level of it, that this is level after level after level, and each level we take hold of it, that we become more in perfection, more like Christ, for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. He said, this is my purpose. This is what it's all about. He took hold of us that we may become like him on earth, that people would see Christ in us. And he made us his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider to have made it my own yet. It has not completely taken over me. It hasn't completely overtaken me. I'm farther than what I was. And yet, one thing I do, I'm forgetting the past. I'm forgetting what is behind me. And I keep reaching forward for what lies ahead of me. Paul said, I'm not looking to the right. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not even looking back, but I'm looking ahead. I press, say that with me, I press towards the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's it. Father, even now, help us to see. Help us to see. Even now, hide me behind your Shekinah of glory. You guide the words. You guide it. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have a redemptive vision of yourself? Not only of who you are now, but who God is calling you to be. There's levels to this thing. It doesn't stop when you get saved. Matter of fact, it has just started. This is a journey. This is a walk. This is a progression. This is a changing. This is a transformation that after a while you begin to say, I'm so glad I'm not what I used to be. And I'm excited about where God is taking me, because what's on each level, you taste him. Taste means experience, that this thing begins to take over. It's infectious. It becomes bigger than anything else in your life. After a while, you get to can't help it's about Jesus, because you recognize he is just that good. And watch it, on each level, there's a deeper taste, there's a deeper experience, there's a deeper falling in love, there's a deeper of knowing him, there's a deeper of seeing him, and you begin to realize that God has done it all. He has done it all. In the 14th century, which is the Renaissance century, we know of Michelangelo and the statue of David. But did you know that not only was he a sculptor, but he was a painter? Even though he did not consider himself a painter, he was probably one of the best painters and sculptors of all times. Y'all probably know the picture, but don't relate it to Michelangelo. He painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel that's in the Vatican. This painting right there, it doesn't look like anything, but what it is, there are pictures on top of a 60-foot ceiling, and it's the picture of Genesis from creation to Noah. The most famous part of this painting is right in the center, and right in the center is God creating man. You've seen it. It's when God is reaching out his hand to man and Adam comes alive. David created this, painted this picture. Took him 4 years to paint it. Allow me, can I step in a little bit deeper? The technique that he used was called fresco. That is Italian. And what it means is he didn't just use paint, but you can't see it, but there are block of plasters, and the plaster is wet. It's wet. And the paint that he used was powder paint. And what was happening in this powder paint is that as he painted it, he wasn't just painting on the ceiling. The paint went in the ceiling. God is not trying to make us act like him, because the truth of the matter is you can't. What God has done is he has placed his spirit in you, spirit in me, that there is a redemptive spark, a seed of God in you and I. It's in our spirit with the Holy Spirit. And what God is trying to do is we have to work along with him to put down the old so the new can come out. So if somebody don't understand. He said that you've been reborn, born again. That's a supernatural experience where the Holy Spirit has come into your life and he has painted, he has imprinted on the inside of us the character, the person of Christ, and it ought to be taken over. You know, the problem is that the reason why we don't see more of him in us is that it's a fight. It's a fight. Many times we are still holding on to the old us and haven't caught hold of the new us, because it hurts to die. It don't feel good to die. Right now, they said that people come from all over to see this painting. 25,000 people a day, 5 million people a year come to the Sistine Chapel just to marvel at the artistry, to marvel at his skills, to marvel at these pictures that he built a 60-foot scaffolding to stand there and paint. hate this pain. And he said he paid a cost for it. He said his back, his arm, this paint was falling on him. He could only do it one square at a time as he made it wet because he wanted to assimilate the colors to assimilate. They said that there was some assistants that came and they was going to paint with him. He sent them back home because they didn't have the right image in their mind. Who are you allowing to paint on you? What voices are we listening to? What tags have Satan tagged us with? Listen, if this is so awesome that many people come from that far, from all over the world, to see what a man did, how much more is God trying to do that with you and me? I honestly believe we don't have a clue. I honestly believe that God is so delicately working within us that in Psalms 139, he said that we are fearfully, wonderfully made. And he's talking about our bodies. There's a Christian, he's a doctor that specializes in DNA. And what he does in his seminars, he first shows the stained glass of a chapel in England. And everybody said, oh, but then he shows a magnified picture of the human DNA in all of its color. And people say, we really don't know what God has done in making us. Look at David in Psalms 8. David says, looking at the stars, looking at the moon, looking at the sun, David get in awe of God's handiwork. He said, you did this with the finger of your hand. If you are so awesome, since you are so awesome that you have done all of this, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is human beings that you care for us so much? Why are you so intimately involved in our life? What is it about us that we don't see about us that you see? Somebody need to say, I must be something. If God stooped down in my mess and saved me, there must be more to me than I ever thought. In spite of whatever, listen, you are not what happened to you. You are not what people said about you. You are not what you've been through. Listen, the devil couldn't touch what God placed in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we ought to start saying what God says about us because I think we got the wrong frame of mind. Watch this. Michelangelo had to paint within the edges of what he saw in his mind. Somebody didn't get that. I thought he sketched it first, but since it was wet, he couldn't sketch it. But he had the stop and start of the figures in his mind. He did, in other words, he didn't color out the lines. Why are we allowing people to color in our picture? Don't let nobody or nothing tell you who you are or who you are not. Don't let nobody limit you in what you can't do or can do. They don't know what God put in you. The only one that knows what God put in you is God, which means that you got to start talking to your creator. You got to start talking to the one that knows everything about you. He know what happened to you. He know what he brought you through. He know what he made you for. You know why I realized that all the dirt in my life had been my fertilizer to help me become what I am today, and God still isn't finished yet. Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't really see the real me. The real me is is still inside of me. And I'm going to work with God to bring all of it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are a masterpiece. You are a work of art. You are God's workmanship. And it's greater than anything else that God has ever made. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. You know what I realized? We got to get wrong of wrong thinking. In the direction that we think, right now, God got her, and there's a lot of people's attention is there, and you haven't heard what I said. The devil will bring distraction so that we won't hear what we need to hear. It is the word of God that will paint into you. The word of God helps show you who you are. Listen, he did this by himself, Michelangelo. He fired everyone else because he said, you're not painting according to what I have in my mind. Listen, are you saying about yourself what God says about you? Because if you don't, you're not painting according to what God says about you. You know what I discovered? You become whatever you look at. Whatever you constantly think about, whatever you constantly say, whatever we constantly is full of us, that is what we become. That's what Psalms 1 says. He said, blessed are the men who do not listen to, who do not walk in, who do not hang around. Who are you hanging around? Who are you talking to? If you talk to a gossip, you must be a gossip. Whatever we have allowed to take our attention, our mind, whether you know it or not, we are becoming. My talk, your talk betray us. I realize now that in Isaiah, when he said, Lord, forgive us, forgive me, because my mouth, did y'all hear that? My mouth shows my heart, and now that I see your heart, I recognize my mouth is unholy. Lord, my talk isn't the talk you talk. Lord, I realize that my greatest sin is the direction that my mouth talk in. Oh, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Because my mouth betrays my talk, because if it wasn't in my heart, I wouldn't say it. The vision that God is trying to show all of us is who we are in Christ. Now watch this. Who you are in Christ will be different than who I am in Christ, because God will use your particular gifts for you to shine in Christ. There are 9 pictures. As I understand that, not only did Michelangelo do the ceiling, he did characters around the ceiling. There's somewhere around 300 pictures being painted. Each one different. Each one showing the skill and the artistry of Michelangelo. Look at all the people in the room. Look at the people that are on media, all the people in the world. God has painted every fingerprint is different. Your eye retina is different. There's nobody like you. Even if you're twins, your eye retina and your fingerprint is different. If he can do that in the physical, what can he do in the spiritual? He says this about us, and don't say it about anything else. You are my masterpiece. You are my work of art. I have made you to show you off. I want you to be so full of me that there's no other explanation for the way you love. You know, I realize that what is going to come out of us when we're full of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. Is Jesus. What made Jesus different than anything else? The way he loved folks. The way he didn't look down on folks. Here he is, and it's in John chapter 4, and it won't come up. But watch this. They have caught a woman in adultery, and they bring her. They call her in adultery. Y'all get that? And I was always puzzled about that. And then he stooped down because they wanted him to charge her. But wait a minute. If you caught the woman, where's the man? But wait a minute. You are the Pharisees that's always trying to trick Jesus and get him in trouble, which means that y'all set this up. Which means you set her up to set him up. Which means that you have alternative motives all the time. And your mind wasn't about the woman. Your mind was trying to trap Jesus. Y'all get me? So y'all done got together and y'all pre-planned this. Y'all had some backroom meetings that y'all were going to catch this poor woman with one of y'all that's in the meeting. To bring her before Jesus to catch Jesus. But did you know that the Lord is past finding out? Did you know his way is not our way? Did you know that the Lord knows the most details of our heart, and he knows whether we real or faking all the time anyway? And when I realized that, since he knows everything, I need to tell him everything. Because until I tell him, he can't fix it. So we need to tell him everything and bring him everything. I don't care what it is. Take it to Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, take that to Jesus. That bad attitude, take it to Jesus. That mouth, take it to Jesus. That bad thinking, take it to Jesus. Take it to the one that is painting in you. He's in you and me, painting. It is amazing how we go through all this trouble to impress people. It's amazing how we rationalize our nature that's outside of the line. I discovered this morning. I believe it's true because scripturally it says this. Scripturally, Adam and Eve was naked, and I go back and say, they're naked physically as far as clothing, but they're covered with God's glory. They were in his presence. They were in Eden. It's all about glory. Jesus in John 17, when he prayed, he said, Lord, give me back my glory that I had with you forever. So, Lord, now that I became human, I don't have my glory. So give me back my glory and let my disciples see my glory and give them my glory. Do you know what was lost in the garden? It was his glory. We became unclothed. no longer look like him. No longer could identify him. Our image was messed up and the glory left. Do you know if you saved that when he saved you, he put his Holy Spirit in you? Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, he has put in you a seed. Greek says sperm, DNA, spiritual seed, that he has put himself in you, and the Holy Spirit is in you to help you, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, to work out, not to work for, to work out what he has placed in you, because he is working on you to be his masterpiece. You know what the problem is? We don't understand his love towards us, so we fight him at his working. Listen to him in Jeremiah 18 when he says, Israel, Israel, can't I do with you what the potter has done with this clay? Don't I have the right, since I got my name on you, don't I have the right after I have delivered you and saved you? Don't I have the right to make you a nation that all other nations will envy and want to come to know your God? Don't I have the right to take my word and my spirit to shape you and mold you, even to crush you in places that don't look like me? Don't I have the right to keep you in my hands? And as long as you are in my hands, he said, can't I do with you what I want to do? You know, he's saying it up. He said, since I saved you, since I called you out of your mess, since I stooped low and I died for you, can't I mold you? Can't I take you through the fire? Can't I allow you to go through things? Now listen, even while you're going through your trial, I got you. I got you in my hands. I promise you, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but don't I have the right to reshape your personality, to reshape your want-tos? Don't you trust my heart towards you? You know, I realize the hardest thing to do is to change your want-to. Most of our prayers, we pray, God, to bless our want-to. Wait a minute, I got scripture on that. Okay, give me your scripture. He said that he would give me the desire of my heart. My question is, which heart? Which heart? Because where it says that our heart is deceitfully, there's two parts of it. First, it says the man that trusts God, the upper verse, the man who trusts God, the man who walks with the Lord and relies on him, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers and water, and his fruit will always be there. Then it says, he says, but the other heart, the other one that is deceitfully wicked. Well, who you talking about here? All of y'all. The heart that's not saved, the part that wants its own way, the part that fell with Adam, he said, that cannot be changed. That can't be rehabilitated. That can't be, that can't be healed. You know what he says? That has to die so your new self can rise up. He said, now, if you're praying out of your born-again spirit, he said, I got that because I'm the one that put it in you anyway. Listen. David, the shepherd boy, never thought that he would become a king of an empire and make Israel at that time the number one empire in all the world. And you see him flipping back and forth, but most of the time he chased God, and God took this shepherd boy and lift Israel up to the number one empire in the world at that time. What can God do with you? Moses, a murderer on the backside of the mountain, tending sheep, ran from his purpose, ran from his God. God raised him up and made him the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, leading over 2 million people out of slavery into the promised land. Someone said this, they said, we have yet to see a man, woman, boy, or girl that have trusted God to the point that God can do all that he wants to do through them. Yeah, we haven't seen nothing yet. God is waiting on somebody to say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust your heart towards me. It's when you don't know why God's doing what he's doing. And you're doing your best to stay right where you need to stay. You may fall, but you get back up. You keep getting back up. The righteous man falls 7 times, and that 7 means he falls many times, but they get back up. What God looks at is the heart that is chasing him, the heart that says, I trust you, the heart that says, Lord, I want to be all that you want me to be. You know, when you agree with God, watch out. Sooner or later, listen, people will talk about you. People will say that you're different than everybody else. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Know that he got you. You will see him fight your battles. You will see him move people out your way. You will see him open up doors that need to be opened. Shut doors that don't want you to walk in. If you trust God, God will prove himself over and over and over again. Somebody got to trust God. And you will taste and see that the Lord is good, not just sometimes, but all the time. Listen, don't settle for the crumbs that Satan got for you. It's crumbs. Matter of fact, I don't even think it's edible. It don't satisfy. It can't keep you. But there's something about Jesus that makes everything all right. I've seen people who walk close with God, and I declare, it looks like they done smeared Vaseline on themselves. But if you rub it, it's not Vaseline. You can see the anointing at times. You can see the favor of God. It's not on the outside. It's on the inside, shining out. I know I'm right, but I got scripture on it. In Psalms 37, it says, those that trust in the Lord, he leans on him. He said, and you will shine, you will be radiant like the noonday. If you see a person like that, don't put your lips on them. If you see a person like that, don't set up a trap for them. Malachi, come here. Malachi, what happened to Haman who couldn't stand you because you have favor? And Malachi would say, the trap that he set for me was a trap he fell in himself. The gallows that was being built for me was the gallows he got hung on himself. So everything he tried to do, he said, I didn't have to do anything, but God stepped in and fought my battle. I just set my eyes on the Lord, and the Lord did it. See, when we get to heaven, it won't be saying, I did this, and I did this, and I did that. That will not be it. Do you know what will be it? The Lord did it. Is there anybody in the house that can say right now, up to this point in my life, I know who did it. I know who brought me. I know who kept me. The Lord did it. Is there anybody that can testify? The Lord did it. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. He did all of this. He brought me out. He kept me in. He kept me when I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave. The Lord did it. You know what? You know, I discovered that sometimes we take credit for what the Lord did. Don't be ashamed when people ask you how. They'll say, oh, I'm a good person. No, you're not. No. In all of life, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, in all of life, if it had not been for the Lord making a way out of no way, in all of our life, if God had not kept his hands on you, even when you wasn't serving him, grace and mercy has brought me. Grace and mercy made a way out of nowhere. Grace and mercy is keeping me right now. Grace and mercy. Is there anybody in the house that's not ashamed to say, I'm standing right now. I'm living right now by his grace and his mercy. His mercy kept me till grace could capture me. I thank you. I thank you. I said at Pharaoh's, and I'm through. I said at Pharaoh's, I said, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 5 or 6, at the ending, not all of your Bibles have this. He said, thy be the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's because in some of the documents out of the Greek that it was written in, it doesn't have that. So some scholars believe it was added. Whether it was added or not, I don't know, but I know it fits. I know it was intended, because it fits. It is his kingdom. It is by his power. It is for his glory. I can't get out of my head the prayer of Jesus in John 17, where he said, Lord, I want your glory, the glory that I had eons before everything. I sat with your glory. Lord, I gave it up, become one of them. Lord, I'm asking for your glory. I want them to see your glory, and I want them to share our glory. Lord, as I glorify you, you glorify me. I glorify them, and they glorify me. And then I glorify you, then they glorify me. Then we are all caught up in this thing of glory. You are made for his glory. He will only give us as much glory as he can trust us with. You don't chase your blessings. You chase the creator and the blesser, and his name is Jesus. But I promise you, if you chase Jesus, the glory, the power, and the honor will chase you. Your blessings will chase you. Is there anybody know what I'm talking about? That God has hit you with some unexpected blessings. God has done things that you didn't even ask for because you kept your eyes stayed on him. God has hit you with a blessing over there, hit you with a blessing over there. God has done this, that, and everything else because you have set your eyes on him. I think at the end of the day, and I'm done, that in everything, it ought to be, Lord, for your kingdom, about your kingdom, Lord, by your power, Lord, for your glory. Hold on, not just on Sunday. All day Monday. If someone get on your last nerve, Lord, I'm not gonna cuss them out because of your kingdom. Lord, by your power. Lord, because of your glory, I know who I am in you. Lord, help me not to color outside of the lines. Help me not to live in a way they see me and not you. Listen, if we live trashy, they don't care about the glory of Jesus that's coming out our mouth. Lord, help me to stay in the boundaries that you are coloring, painting Christ in me. Help me to get better at staying within the boundaries you have set for me. No, I said, if I pay attention to me, I'm not worried about Justin. Peter, you are going to die on a cross turned upside down. And Peter said, okay, but what about John? He said, don't worry about John. If I want John to stay till I come back, that's between me and John. I'm talking about you. To you, Lord, in all of our lives, in everything we do, in all that we run to be, thy be the kingdom of God. Thy be the power of God. Thy be the glory of God. Be on us. That's what we are called for. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more majestic. There's nothing more. Watch this. Then I'm done. To the degree we allow it here, it would be magnified up there. To the degree we allow it down here, it would be rebounded, it would be magnified, it would be up there. Daniel says, he says, in that day, we will shine like the star. That's glory. That's glory. That's glory. I think some Christians gonna have a candlelight, because that's all they gave him down here. But there are some that's going to shine like the sun. That's glory. Lord, even now. Paint the picture. Father, if 25,000 people come every day to see what Michelangelo did, if 5 million come every year to see what he painted with a broken brush, paint on us. Lord, let it assimilate in every cell in our being that people will see you so much in us that they will marvel not at us, but at you in us. And help us to recognize it's you by your power, for your glory, for the kingdom of God. Lord, help us to see it. Help us down low into our spirit. Let it become so clear that when we step out of the line of what you're painting, that it will break our hearts. Lord, thy is the kingdom. Thy is the power. Thy is the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Give Jesus some praise in the house.